This is the On the Pony Express podcast,
part of the On3 Network.
Check out all the SMU coverage you need at ontheponyexpress.com. Now, here's your host, Billy Embody.
Billy Embody.
1, 2, 3, let me go.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the On the Pony Express podcast. I am Billy Embody. Thanks for joining me. As always, we've got a lot to talk about. SMU schedules a big football series and a massive official visit weekend is in the books. We'll recap it all. But first, we've got to remind you guys that we are presented by our friends at Status Jet. StatusJet.com. Reach out to David Henry and his team. Give them a call and learn about all the opportunities that you can use Status Jet for this upcoming football season. 866-674-1192. Mention the code PONYUPACC for a discount on a round-trip flight. Think about that. That is so huge when it comes to private jet charter opportunities. A discount. That's massive. SMU's 2024 football schedule gives SMU fans the opportunities to get around to some new places, see some new spots, but it's also a schedule that has some places to get to that might be a little bit more difficult when it comes to commercial airlines and also time commitments to get to those spots. So highly recommend you checking in with our friends at Status Jet and just explore the opportunity for you, your family, friends to use Status Jet and get out to watch the Mustangs this 2024 SMU football season. So we'll talk more about some packages as the season gets closer for you guys to charter some jets and things like that on your own and explore those opportunities with Status Jet. SMU not shying away from some in-state Power Four competition as SMU and Baylor agreed to a series, a home-and-home series, an opportunity for these two former Southwest Conference programs to meet. They'll play in Dallas on September 6, 2025, before heading back to Waco September 19th, 2026. The schools announced the matchup on Tuesday afternoon. And look, SMU has wanted to schedule competitively for a while now. And with TCU opting out, at least for now, of this rivalry, this makes a lot of sense that SMU tries to find another Power Four opponent in the state of Texas to play, on their schedule. And so 2025 is going to be fun. SMU going to face TCU. SMU going to face Baylor. Those two are the two games announced for SMU. And similarly to this year with BYU and then TCU, there will be that week between, at least as of now, that SMU will have to play around with and see if they bring in another Houston Christian-like opponent. Do they try something else when it comes to filling out the schedule? Baylor is the lone 2026 game so far that we know about for SMU in 2026. So we'll see kind of what else comes. I will say this. I do think we're going to have more power conference opponents announced at some point from what I'm hearing. Obviously, SMU does have a game against against BYU and Oklahoma on the schedule. They have some other things that they have locked in, but we'll learn more about those in the future from what I understand. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. But this makes a lot of sense. And honestly, this is kind of the model that I've been hoping for when it comes to SMU is definitely playing an in-state Power Four opponent. And I mean, look, there's two ways to think about it. You can schedule week and you can get, let into an expanded playoff and people can kind of, rib you for not scheduling, or you could schedule up a little bit and people can rightfully complain if you get left out, or give you kudos and say, hey, oh, look at this 1-2 loss SMU team. They lost to a good Power Four opponent this season in non-conference, and maybe they lost to Florida State and advanced to play in the ACC championship game. Maybe they do deserve to be in the 12-team playoff. So I don't know. I just think in today's day and age of realignment taking away a lot of regional rivalries, this is a no-brainer for SMU to get this on the schedule. So good on Baylor as well for scheduling it. Even though SMU is in the Power Four ranks now, we've seen a lot of this where schools just don't feel the need to, you know, play nice in terms of, hey, wow, this makes a lot of sense. You know, I'd love to see a Texas Tech. I'd love to see, you know, Texas A&M, Texas. I don't know if they'll ever happen, but I think it's good for SMU. I think SMU Houston would make a lot of sense a couple of years from now in terms of, you know, rounding out the schedules. I like it. I think the state of Texas has a lot to offer overall when it comes to these rivalries and these matchups between any of the programs in the state. You know, most of them have decent history. So kudos to Rick Hart and Baylor for getting this done, and a good short trip for SMU in 2025 or in 2026 as TCU rolls off the schedule. So Rick Hart and his staff working hard on that future conference scheduling for SMU, and that push remains ongoing to get some things lined up. So I think we'll hear more about the future schedules as the summer rolls on potentially. So with that in the books, SMU had a big official visit weekend with multiple four-star prospects hitting campus, and it was a really solid weekend for SMU overall from what I've heard. You had a top 100 prospect for On3 and Dalen McCutcheon on campus. You had a four-star in Taz Williams roll through. And then you bring in some offensive linemen into the fold. And Abel Ho'opipi, I butchered that again. I don't have the name in front of me, so somebody on the board is going to have to remind me again on what it is. I'll try to grab it here as we talk. But let's start with the receivers. SMU has so much room for playing time in 2025. Any receiver they're recruiting in this 2025 class is somebody you've got to view in the lens of they're going to have an opportunity to play right away. There's tons of playing time for these players, and they're going to have to be viewed as, is can you compete early on? Because yes, if Jordan Hudson doesn't have a career year and go pro after this season, then you have him back in the fold. But beyond that, you have Ashton Cozart on the outside. You have Jamarian Carroll as a versatile outside, somewhat inside receiver. You've got Jackson Lavender and Randy Reese as your slots. You have Dalen Singleton as your lone commit. He's a slot. When you look at Dalen McCutcheon, he's another slot option, but different from like a Dalen Singleton. He's kind of a bigger slot in a way, almost 6 feet tall. Taz Williams, 6 foot. He's an outside guy. And then we'll talk on Thursday about the big official visit weekend, but SMU will bring in some players that can play on the outside a little bit more as well for official visits. And I think they're stacking their board pretty well, knowing that they're going to go out and have to get a transfer wide receiver as well. But from what I've understood from this weekend, you look at Taz Williams, and Taz is the one where I really do feel like SMU's made a big move here. I think SMU's been able to show Taz Williams, hey, look, we understand you're being recruited by the top programs around the country. You've been on the radar as a recruit for a long, long time, but you can come in here right away and play at a decent clip for SMU and contribute early on, which I don't think is lost on him and his family as well. I think they're a family that would love to see him, you know, be in the Dallas area. I don't think they'd mind that at all. Granted, he does have some other big time programs after him, and he does have some official visits lined up to the likes of Ohio State, Texas A&M, Michigan. So we'll see kind of how those play out. But what hit home for Taz Williams and his family is the instant impact opportunity. And look, if you don't subscribe to ontheponyexpress.com, subscribe for just $1 for 2 months using the code SMU1. That's SMU the number one. And part of the reason why is we have On3 national recruiting analyst, our vice president of he's vice president of recruiting in the transfer portal for On3, and that's Steve Wiltfong. He's one of the goats when you talk about the recruiting industry. Him and Chad Simmons form an incredible duo when it comes to covering these prospects. And you know, Taz Senior, Taz's dad, obviously said, I think this quote stuck out to me. You know, they're going to the ACC. They've got the new facility coming. Got the 2025 quarterback in Keelan Russell. The family dynamic. Head coach is the OC as well. That's pretty cool. the opportunity to play right away. They're losing six wide receivers next year, seven if Jordan Hudson goes to the NFL. That lit Taz's face up when checking out the roster. The battle is still ongoing for this one. But if out of the two receivers, I'm pegging someone that SMU made a move with, it's Taz Williams. On the flip side of that, Dalen McCutcheon is a top 100 prospect for On3. He is somebody that is very familiar with the program, prepping at Lucas Lovejoy right up 75. Jackson Lavender, I mentioned him as part of the future at SMU's wide receiver group. He played at Lovejoy. And Dalen has been around SMU for a while. He loves the environment, the people. But he also has, again, a slew of a who's who when it comes to who's recruiting him. Ohio State, the first weekend of June. USC, second weekend in June. Texas, June 14th. Florida State, June 21st. He does have family in the state of Florida. I do feel like right now SMU might very well be battling the Seminoles. So an ACC recruiting battle heating up here. But obviously you can't sleep on Brian Hartline and Ohio State, their production at the receiver position, both in recruiting it and developing it. USC has done a really nice job recruiting him. Texas, they were kind of the late school into the mix here, but they've done a really nice job recruiting him as well since offering. I just feel like it almost seems like he is potentially a player that ends up more of a might see in a year or two. And that doesn't, I'm not trying to diss him and say he's not going to pan out wherever he goes, but just when you're battling that type of a level in terms of competition, I haven't heard enough right now for me to say SMU is going to win this recruiting battle for Dalen McCutcheon and they're going to beat Ohio State or they're going to beat Florida State, just because I do feel like they have better inroads at this time. And I know that sounds crazy, but when you have family in Florida like he does, close to Florida State, they've recruited him hard. They've obviously had success recruiting the receiver position and developing the receiver position as well. I do feel like it's something where you can really see that come to really just impress him overall. And so it's kind of, it seems like to me that is the more likely place right now than SMU, but we'll be tracking it. I mean, who knows? They've got receiver boards, they've got recruiting battles that are ongoing. And maybe if the Seminoles really emerge with some other additions, maybe SMU does end up landing a Dalen McCutcheon. But keeping with the offensive side of the ball, SMU did bring in three offensive linemen. And for SMU, I think they've done a really nice job here recruiting this group. And all of them are from out west or way out west. I mentioned Ho'opi, out of Hawaii. I think SMU really made a splash there. It wouldn't surprise me if they ended up landing him. Jacob Maiava out of California. He transferred into Santa Margarita Catholic before this season and really impressed SMU when it came to scouting him. They made a move and offered him and brought him in for a visit, and I think things went well there. I think Drew Nichols came away pleasantly surprised with how SMU showed out on their visit. And Garen Justice, I think, continues to really impress these prospects in terms of just what he's able to sell to them. And so we'll keep an eye on it. I mean, this is a recruitment that, you know, we'll just have to see if SMU can land him. But the two I think SMU really made a move with is Abel and Jacob in that group of three that they brought in. But I will say this, Tremeco Green is one of the guys that I think diving into spring evaluations, he really just impressed me overall when it comes to what he's able to do on the field. He reminds me of Xavier Jones. I said that on the podcast last week. And I do feel like SMU is getting higher and higher and higher on him as they go into their evaluations even more. I just feel like he's really been somebody they've been impressed with and been able to find somebody that could potentially complement Michael Turner the four-star top 100 running back who we'll talk about on Thursday's podcast a little bit more. But I feel like the Mustangs grabbed a lot of momentum here in this recruitment. I think he really enjoyed it with his family. It's not far from Houston. He's kind of got a little bit of a Texas, and I think Kansas is the other school, but kind of a Texas flavor to his recruitment. I think Tulsa might be in there as well. So nothing too crazy far for him. And he has seen his recruitment pick up. Michigan State, Oregon State offered. I believe Kansas State did as well. But I think SMU has really made up a lot of ground here. And I think kudos to the staff. They've been able to really make a good move here and get really get some momentum in that recruitment. So they're looking for two running backs in this class. It's no secret they want them. We've seen them recruit Ricky Stewart. He ended up going to Texas. We've seen them recruit a couple other guys who are now, you know, I think being prioritized differently. And I saw Carson Cox committed to UCLA. But when it comes down to Jermeco Green, I mean, they really feel like, you know, talking to people around the program, there's a sense that he might end up being one of the better backs in Texas. So high praise. And he's got an ability to catch the football too. So I think SMU, the last piece here for this official visit weekend, and then we'll kind of wrap it up. Travaris Daniels, one of the flip candidates on SMU's radar this cycle, out of the state of Florida, plays for one of the best programs you can find in terms of producing talent. He's listed as a safety, but is being recruited as a will linebacker for SMU. That's where he's committed for Indiana as well. I think Maurice Crum is doing a really nice job recruiting nationally. I think he is kind of one of those rising stars in the recruiting industry as an assistant coach. He got the promotion after this season, thanks to the work he did with that linebacker group, which was kind of slept on by everybody, including myself, going into last season. But he's also recruited nationally pretty well. They've got to win a couple of local recruiting battles. You know, they've missed out so far on J.J. Shelton. Elijah Barnes ends up going to Texas. But they are recruiting this position pretty well nationally. They've got some really nice talent coming in for visits, and as well as Caleb Burns from the state of Texas. So the linebacker position is one that they really need to load up with high school guys because they need to develop them. They've done a really nice job of stockpiling talent with guys like Brandon Booker and Zach Smith, Travaris Daniels. And in terms of projecting linebackers, you like the ones that you can pack weight on and they can play, move down from safety to linebacker once they get to the college level. That's something that is really trendy. That's something that athletically you need to be able to do. You need to be able to run and cover. And so I just feel like SMU is doing a good thing here in looking at Travaris Daniels and bringing him in for a visit. Haven't heard anything in terms of a flip, but he will probably take more visits. And then he will go about his decision-making process and kind of finalizing that ahead of his senior season in all likelihood. So they have a lot of guys on the board at this position, and I'll be intrigued to see who they come away with overall. And it wouldn't shock me if they ended up, you know, flipping a guy like J.J. Shelton in the end, or, you know, kind of a la Speedy Nettles last cycle, another Dallas prospect who committed elsewhere, power program, before ending up, you know, flipping to SMU late. But Travaris Daniels definitely was a surprise visitor. We held him until we knew he was coming in, obviously. And SMU was able to get him on campus, and I think they made a really positive impact on his recruitment. So that is really it on the official visit weekend. Couple notes here. I think SMU's goal, just from where they're putting kids up, where they're taking them out to dinners, they really want to show off Dallas, and they want to show it off where they can be in downtown, staying at a great hotel. They can then be in, you know, the trendy Clyde Warren Park spots, restaurants there to take kids out to, kids and their parents out to for dinners. They were up near the Park Cities for dinner one night. And then, of course, they showed off campus. And one thing that I really think SMU is doing a good job of is they're involving the entire staff. I know it seems cliche, and a lot of coaching staffs do this, but the way SMU is structuring their visits, they are making sure that these players not only get time with their position coaches, but get a lot of time with the analysts, with the graduate assistants, with recruiting staff, to kind of show, hey, we're all in this together. We can all, you know, build this family and continue to build on the culture that Rhett Lashley and his staff have done a good job of putting in place. And I think that's hit home. And in particularly, I mean, I think there's a couple of commits coming out of that weekend, and they're prospects that were really big on family. So I like what SMU is doing in that regard. And it's so important that they continue to build on that. And with a 20 plus person visiting, or 20 plus, you know, prospect visit weekend on deck, we need to, you know, this was a good first kind of run through for this staff, which has seen some changes on the recruiting staff as well. Mentioned the series with Baylor. SMU just nabbed Connor Morgan from Baylor to be its next DPP, Director of Player Personnel. For those of you that don't know, he spent the last couple of years at Baylor, and I talked with a lot of people around that program. I'm lucky enough to know a good bit of them from the LSU days, and they had a lot of good things to say. He was the Associate Director of Player Personnel for Dave Aranda and his staff. He worked at Alabama as well. J.R. Sandlin worked at Alabama too, so little bit of the process, so to speak, with Nick Saban maybe coming into the program. But that was a new hire for SMU from Baylor, and they continue to build out that recruiting staff. So they had a nice little run through this past weekend before they host 20 plus visitors this weekend. Quick note on cornerback recruiting. SMU continues to target transfer corners for one of their last scholarship spots. Not much room left at the end for this 2024 season, but SMU is looking for a transfer corner. Terrence Brooks, the Texas cornerback, did commit to Illinois, I believe it was, this week. And then Kobe Miner, I did see, is on a visit elsewhere. He is somebody that I've not seen, not heard SMU linked to in a minute. He is somebody that has a lot of ties to the staff, but just heard that they've not really engaged in pushing for him as of late. So Michigan State is hosting him right now. And then SMU did offer Trayshawn Devones from Rice, and he actually just got back into Dallas on Tuesday evening from a mission trip. So he is coming in potentially at some point for a visit here now that he's actually back in town. He's a former Duncanville standout, so he is somebody that is familiar with the city, doesn't need to be really wined and dined, but probably will come over at some point and visit with the SMU staff. He, you know, was injured a lot of the first four seasons, but after having 45 tackles, 30 of which were solo, he had 11 pass breakups and two picks in 2023. Duke, Notre Dame, Colorado have hosted him. Houston, Tulane, Nebraska, Rutgers, Vandy have all been in contact as well. People need corners. He would make a lot of sense. I like where SMU stands. If they can just get him on campus, that would go obviously a long way to getting him to jump on board with this program and you know, addressing the cornerback position. But we'll continue to track that. I'm gearing up for a big official visit weekend. We're going to preview that on the podcast on Thursday. Quick reminder, guys, head over to ontheponyexpress.com for just $1 for 2 months using the code SMU1. That's SMU, the number one. A trio of top 100 basketball prospects are on campus. We've got the scoop at ontheponyexpress.com. And before we go, we'll have a longer pod on Thursday. Don't worry. But we want to remind you guys, check out our friends at Status Jet, statusjet.com. Reach out to David Henry and his team for all the information on what you need to know when it comes to booking a private jet for your next SMU football game, for your next family trip, business trip, whatever you need a private charter for. Status Jet will get you there with that attention to detail that you deserve from a private jet charter company. Use the code PONYUPACC for a discount on a round trip flight, and they will take care of you. I can promise you that. That entire team is really dedicated to making sure you find the right fit, the right level of luxury, size, all those things in the private jet space. So reach out to our friends at statusjet.com for more information, and they'll get you hooked up right away. So with that, hope you guys enjoyed this edition of the On the Pony Express podcast. Longer podcast on Thursday to get you really started on your weekend right. A lot to talk about, and we'll also have an insider podcast as well this week. So hope you guys enjoyed this edition of the podcast, and we will catch you guys next, Thursday with another edition of the On the Pony Express podcast. Have a good one, everyone. Catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to the On the Pony Express podcast with Billy Embody.
Follow us on your socials on X at SMU on 3 and on Instagram at On3SMU.
And keep it locked to OnThePonyExpress.com for more coverage.